my ankle.
Rock Your Life Radio. Incredible guests, amazing insights, and a deeper understanding. www.rockyourlife.net.
Hey everybody, it's Mike Hancock here, and I have with me James Reed. Hey James, how are you doing?
I'm great, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
That's awesome. AKA the Doctor. Now the Doctor, you are a doctor of a lot of things, and I find you to be an amazing philosopher on life, musician, best-selling recording artist, painter, and many other things, fisherman. So today I've got James on the show all the way from Auckland, New Zealand, where it's quite late in the morning there, so I'm not going to keep him up too long. James, we're going to talk about God, the origin of species, and the dinosaurs. Where would you like to start?
Well, it's quite a broad situation, isn't it? Would you like to discuss matter and or where we actually came from? Or would you like to talk about harmony and the fact of frequencies and everything that made us who we are? Where would you like to discuss?
I think let's start there and then let's move on to some of the more spiritual and religious matters, because one of the things I wrote in one of my books a number of years ago was that all matter comes from light and all light comes from sound, which sound is music. So everything has a musical note, so everything resonates. So without music, nothing would exist. And as a musician, I mean, you have the power to transform lives through music. And I know that you have a lot of deeper meaning in all of the songs you've written, going back to your first album that you came out with the band in 1998, I think it was. So give me your opinion about matter and light and music, and where does it all fit, and why are people so confused about this these days?
Okay, well, here's why I see it. Everything is matter, and everything is light, and everything has a frequency. And as you say, from the beginning of time, and there's also been, as it turns out, which I find very interesting, is you can take a petri dish and put a harmony and or a frequency, and you can create DNA. And this is proven fact. This is scientific. So if you were trying to say that anything created from God, let's not use God as a word, but if you say that anything created from the word, which is is created, which is the perfect harmony and the frequencies, then that is what created the universe. And if you want to go down that path, then you're more than welcome.
I'd like to go down that path, actually.
Well, you're more than welcome. What I'm saying is that is where most of religions come from.
So what's happened to religion? Like, do you think it's got out of line and it's lost the idea of where it's come from these days? I mean, everybody wants peace on earth, but there seems to be so much unrest, and we seem to be so out of harmony between ourselves. So do you think religion's lost its way?
No, religion hasn't lost its way. The only thing that's lost its way is money and the whole concept of building up arms against the oppressor. That's the only thing that's lost its way, and to change that is a different way of thinking. If you have one tribe that has more than another tribe, then you have an inequality. But if everyone's equal and everyone's peaceful, then there is no war. The only thing that the problem that we have with this world right now is inequality. So the sooner you can get one to an equal balance, then we will get back to non war. I don't even know if that's the best way of describing it, but the point is, if I don't have more than you and you don't have more than me, then I don't have to fight you for it.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of talk these days, and a lot of people I know are using the barter system to rather than money these days, and with all the alternative currencies as well. The last time I checked, there were 71 alternative currencies in the world, and a lot of people are using barter. So do you think that stuff is a way to bring back equality, or do you think that we're getting more out of balance because the rich are getting richer?
My personal view is that if you don't have anything to sell or trade, then yes, I believe that you're out of kilter. I mean, you can't have a concept of trillions of dollars tied up into a building system or into a share market system that you actually don't realize if the whole thing didn't exist. So this is where share markets collapse, because when someone says, hang on, that doesn't exist for me, I don't have enough rice for me to pay for your Lamborghini and your high-rise, I still need to be paid. And the person with the Lamborghini goes, well, hang on, I don't have any rice to feed you. That's where everything goes a little bit custard, doesn't it? What are your thoughts, Mike?
I tend to agree. I think that you know, we live in a society now where false gods are celebrated, and one of those false gods is materialism. And so therefore we look on people with material wealth as being more prestigious, something to admire to, something to bow down to. And you know, I think that's the way I was definitely in my 20s, but it's sure changed for me. And you know, you talk about something of value in the barter system. I mean, music is one of the toughest places on earth to do that, because, you know, when you were bringing out your first album, it was on CD, people bought it, nobody downloaded it for free. So now you have to do a whole range of entirely different things to actually get, you know, just reward out of being such a good songwriter. So From that perspective, I think, you know, times are changing. So I'm interested in picking up this whole thought, though. We talked off.
Mike, can I
go
can
on?
Can I step in here, if you don't mind? I mean,
no, go.
When we started out, we weren't looking for fame or fortune, you know, and we were just playing guitar and having fun, you know, around a barbecue.
Yeah.
I mean, we never ever thought that we were going to try and make any money, as they say, out of it. You know, we were getting good vibes. And this is where everything about communism is good and capitalism has its own fate. I'm not saying that I'm going to go down the socialism path or anything like that, or be a political commentator, excuse my words, because I don't want to get locked up. You know, for the people that are listening, I'm either here nor there. I'm sit on the fence. As Mike says, I'm a musician. I'm a bard. All I do is question. And I ask you to think for yourselves. And the last thing I want to do is sit in some, you know, camp questioning, should I have done the right thing or the wrong thing because some dictator decided that all of a sudden we're going to burn some books about this. But I'm not citing Nazis. All I'm saying is you have to think for yourselves. And art is art, and it's a good thing. And thinking is a good thing. Mike, I'll put it back to you.
Yeah, sure. It's Mike Hancock here, and I've got a James Reid, a.k.a. the Doctor, Dr. J, on the line with me. And, Doctor, I'm going to pick up on what you said because it's a really interesting thing. I know we have a lot of listeners that come in from America. And, you know, these days Cuba has opened its borders to Americans more than ever before. But when I went to Cuba just a few years ago, and, you know, I was expecting there's all this bad stuff that was on the news in America about Cuba and Fidel Castro, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't see one person living under a bridge. I didn't see one homeless person. I didn't see one person starving in Cuba. Sure, they didn't have enough money to buy a Ferrari or even the latest iPhone 7, but they weren't broke and starving and living in the streets. So I wonder what's happened with all this, you know, political way of, you know, promoting materialism in the world, whether we've lost sight of actually helping other people. And I know, James, this is something that you're really passionate about, is waking the world up to what's really going on. And again, you do it through your music. What's the main message that you're trying to get out there to people that you're projecting through songs and through, you know, your different media and the way that you live your life?
Look, I like to fish. I don't know if that's a good way to live one's life, but I also know the old philosophy that give fish to one person and you can feed yourself. But if you teach them how to fish, you can feed their village, you know? And I believe that.
Absolutely.
I think if you can teach everyone to look after each other, and as opposed to just themselves, and stop looking after the id and get rid of your ego and everything like that. Everything that Socrates said basically was correct. If you just look at the better good of your society and everything like that, look at what you're good at. I mean, there was a brilliant concept with the whole thing of which you're built at good at. I'm pretty good as an artist and a philosopher, and that's what I do. You know, there are people that are brilliant as sports people. That's what they do. If you just focus on everyone's best individual talents, this makes a better society. And don't try and confuse it with putting people into boxes of they should be doing this. If they're not comfortable doing that, don't do it. You know, just focus on everyone's individual talents. And that's what makes a great society. You know, don't put them in boxes. Try and find everyone's in the niche. How do I say it? The niches, which is brilliant. And then you find genius. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Is that too much?
No, it's awesome. Now, you and I have been buddies for a number of years now, and before that, you know, I definitely bought your music and I listened to it, and now, you know, I've had opportunities to play with you and things like that. And I'm always inspired by the melodies that you seem to pull down out of the heavens. And when you're talking about genius, you know, it's something that you have from a musical sense, and I guess I have it in many senses as well. But what is a way in which you think people can truly tap into their own personal genius? Is there an artist's way?
I don't know, Mike. That's a massive call, dude.
No, I only ask you the big questions, dude.
I've never said I'm a genius. All I've ever said is that if you open yourself up to anything, then you're open to anything. It's like if, for instance, you're a spiraling ball of energy and you throw another spiraling ball into energy, don't you make that a bigger ball of energy? If you were I'm trying to think about it as like a balloon of water, and your mind is open, like a faucet. All you're going to do is get more and more energy until you can take too much, or maybe you're just going to find some openings for that. I don't know if that's a very good analogy, but hang on.
Not a bad analogy, that's for sure. Do you want me to shift the question for you?
Yes, please.
Because you said to me before we got on this, you said, am I for Darwinism or am I for religion? And I said, I'm for neither. And you said, oh, that makes sense. You are too. But what does that mean? What does it mean? You know, where do we come from? What's the doctor's version of where we come from?
Wow. That is a big question, my fairy friend. Where would I suggest that we are? Do you want to know the real answer or the answer?
Yeah, I want the real answer. No, I want the real answer. I don't make this show's not about making people happy. This show's about sharing people's opinions.
Well, from what I can tell, we've got DNA that makes us what we are, but also at the same time, our DNA can change with a thought pattern. And so we're not built into any substructure. And it's pretty much all I can give you, all the information at this given point in time, until people do their research, listen to this channel. And if they find out, which I've just told them, that DNA can change, and that whole concept of everyone saying your DNA is inbred and all that sort of stuff, well, that's absolute bullshit, I'm telling you. You can change your DNA. You're not inbred.
Absolutely.
You can make your own path. And every crystal in your body is rebuilt. You know, and that's one of the most amazing things. We are water. And so when someone around you is upset, what they do is they upset your water crystals and your, you know, when people say you've got vibes and you have good vibes and bad vibes with people, well, that's true because you're water. I mean, there's a wonderful Japanese man. I know that Mike will know this. And you can go to his
Mizuru Omoto.
Exactly. And he's frozen crystals about your waters and stuff like that with love and hate and all that sort of carry on. So it's not just hypothetical. It is science. Love and hate are two very, very opposite attractions. Okay?
They sure are.
Is that the answer you wanted, Mike?
It's a great answer, and I'm gonna add some things to it. Is that recently they've found out that what they call junk DNA is just DNA that they don't understand, and that junk DNA actually is the DNA that can be transformed and does transform you as a person during your life. So your DNA can change. The other thing is when they say, our DNA is only 2% different than a chimpanzee's, that's correct. But the 2% difference is not in the brain or the mind DNA, it's actually in the hair. So it's only the hair that makes us different from the chimpanzee. So when you start getting into this, there's a lot of things that people have learnt wrongly, and we've been taught wrongly at school as well. So, I mean, I congratulate Darwin for getting on the Beagle and going to the Galapagos Islands and coming up with a theory, but that's all it is, folks. And, you know, you can come up with your own theory as well. Just listen to the doctor. He's got a number of theories, and a lot of them are actually in his songs. So, James, what do you think from your point of view? I remember clearly many, many years ago when Venus was number one all around the country, and people said, you know, what's this song about? And what's this song about? And I think you said about three different things on different radio interviews, but do you actually purposefully hide subliminal messages in your songs, or do you just allow people to make their own interpretations?
No, I think it's important for everyone to take their own interpretation. It's almost like the lunar landing. You know, you don't give all the information away and let them find out if they believe it or not.
Yeah, I think this is a really important thing, folks, because if you look at all the deepest ancient wisdom, it's esoteric, meaning it's up for your interpretation. Even those of you that read the Bible, there's many different ways you can interpret the Bible. For instance, that phenomenal line, "I am that I am," changes depending on where you put the comma in it. So the meaning of that and the meaning of a song as well is it's interpretable by the listener, which I think...
It also changes, Mike, sorry to interrupt. But also changes if you use the Hebrew interpretation.
Absolutely.
I am what I am.
Yep.
You know, I am not what I am, but I am what I am.
Absolutely. So everything is interpretable. And so this whole stuff that you've been fed of, you know, you have to be 100% right and all of that sort of stuff, it's not true. I mean, if you go through life being 51% right, you'll probably have an amazing, amazing life. James, what would you like to discuss next? Dinosaurs or maybe something else esoteric?
Well, as a doctor, I would like to discuss people's interpretation of their own physical body. I would love to know if you're getting the callers in to find out how many people have healed themselves from wounds that they thought, that they thought they had to see a doctor for, and then they decided that they would use their own spiritual healing for. That's what I would like to know.
Oh, well, you also know my good friend Glenn Levy, and he's been paraplegic twice and walked out of hospital. So I'm a total believer in being able to heal yourself. I met a lady in Los Angeles once who had third-degree burns to her face and basically left the hospital and went to a beauty pageant and won it. And she totally healed everything, and her skin was more perfect than before the fire. So, you know, I know you're a great believer in holistic and meditational ways of healing yourself, but you know, what do you think is the most important thing that any person can do to make sure that they're in good condition and living a good life?
It's a very squirrely question there, my furry friend.
Yeah, so you can focus on an organ or a something that you really like to do. We talked about the value of turmeric before as a spice. So
yes,
maybe that's
of course
something you'd like to share.
No, I think the healing of the smile is beautiful.
Absolutely. Very true.
It uses the most muscles in the human body for one particular thing. I correct myself, sorry. The frown uses more than a smile.
Yeah, there you go, folks. Stop frowning.
But if you want,
James, we've got about. Please continue.
Sorry, what was the question?
No, please continue.
No, you ask another question. I've got so many answers.
We've got a few minutes left. We've got a few minutes left, and I wanted to throw a really big curly one at you because we've discussed so many great things in the short time that we have together, and I'd love to get you back on the show to share more. But the thing that I want to ask you about is, what's your view on aliens? Are they real?
Is this like it here?
So what's your view on aliens? Are they real?
Yeah, but Mike, is this live to air?
It's live to air, James. We are live. We are live across the world, my friend.
Well, I would love to have all the answers to that particular question. However, I don't have significant evidence. And from now on, after thanks for that question, I'm going to have to search the world to find it.
Well, let me give a spin for our viewers, because I'm never backward in coming forward. So, folks, any of you who have studied ancient wisdom, and particularly the Sumerian ancient wisdom, which came from Iraq, would have heard about the Anunnaki, the sky gods of the Sumerians. My personal belief is that the Iraq war and the Americans going into Iraq wasn't for oil. It wasn't for political gain in any shape. It wasn't, definitely wasn't for weapons of mass destruction. But my personal view is it was to seize and obtain all of the 150,000 cuneiform tablets that are 5,000 to 10,000 years old, on which some amazing stuff was talked about by the ancient technology of the Anunnaki. And you can Google this, James.
No, I disagree with you entirely.
Okay, disagree. Come on, tell me.
I disagree with you. I think that it started, obviously, back through the, probably way back prior to that, but I think during the Crusades, there was something else that they found, which is pretty similar to what you were, which you were looking forward to, which is along the lines of the spiritual, you know, tablets and such. I don't think it was a purely just an alien thing. I think it was a conspiracy with the humans and aliens. Wouldn't you suggest?
I think it was the technology, and whether it was alien or human, my own personal view is out on that, so I don't necessarily have a view. The stuff that you're talking about in the Crusades, the Templars definitely were looking for technology, but they were also looking for something called the Secret of the Kings from Egypt, which I don't know if they found or not. But that's something I've done a lot of research on and written a lot about.
Yeah, but once again, that's still information that is forbidden and such, that we're all going, hang on, why can't we have that information? And this goes on to this day and age. And we're going for zero-point energy, and we're going, well, hang on, if there's aliens on this planet, why can't we have this energy? And why can't we have everything to make our life easier? Can you explain that to me, Mike?
I couldn't agree with you more, and I think the key to this, and I've just got been given the view that we've got 90 seconds left on our time for the show, but the key to the view is that if the people in power start to lose power, then they feel that they've lost everything, so they have to retain power and control, which is small-minded thinking and fear mentality. James, it's been awesome having you on the show today, and if people want to check you out and check your music out, where's the best place for them to do that?
Well, what we're going to have to do is set up a new one called The Doctor through your website.
So look out for The Doctor, James Reid, superstar recording artist, philosopher and artist, and many, many other things. James, it's been awesome talking to you, and have a great rest of your evening.
Yeah, we've only scratched the surface, you know that.
Ciao, brother.
All right.